In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Monday. And yes, it is me in the chair on a Labor Day. I owed it to you to be here on a day everyone else takes off because I missed on Friday. And I'll explain where I was in just a moment, but boy, do we have a show for you tonight, and everybody who's missed it is going to be mad they missed it. So here's what we got. I'm just going to tick it off for you. Maybe this show will be for you. Maybe it won't, but here's what we're going to do. We are going to address the American killed by Hamas. We're going to talk about what's happening with our border and as that relates to Aurora, Colorado, New York City, other places around the country. We're going to talk about the evils of the communists rearing their ugly heads now. Did Joe Biden instruct, inform, consent to a foreign government attacking Elon Musk? We're going to discuss that. There's a serial porch pooper. Nancy Pelosi wants to give amnesty to 20 million illegals. But more importantly than all those big stories, I have a little special treat for you tonight. We are going to do Medal of Honor Monday, as we always do, 1 hour from now. And then after Medal of Honor Monday, I'm not sure that we will return to politics for the rest of the evening. We probably will. But it's history time. You want to do some ancient history with me tonight? Back around the time of Christ? Maybe learn some lessons from the Romans, Egyptians, other people involved? I think we should do that tonight, don't you? Well, all that's coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show, whether you like it or not. So let's go ahead and dig into the politics and get that out of the way first. I am angry. I was angry this morning. I'm actually okay. I'm better now, but I was flying. I was on a plane this morning. Just to let you know, I might as well get it out of the way now. Where I was on Friday is my dad, Don Kelly, is turning 70. He happens to be turning 70 pretty much on election day, so we couldn't do this then. But as a celebration of his life, 70 years, we surprised him, flew him down to Florida, which he never would go to on his own, right? Nice beach in Florida. We all gathered as a family, and we just spent a couple days celebrating him. We ate good, and, you know, me, mom, dad, wife, kids, everybody, sister, everybody was there. It was awesome. That's where I was. So anyway, I'm on the plane this morning. I'm coming back, and I found out, or maybe it was yesterday, but today I was stewing on it. I found out about the American killed by Hamas. You know, Hamas still has all these Israeli hostages. And that's bad, obviously, but America is where my loyalty lies and will always lie. America and Americans matter. They're everything to me, really. They mean everything to me. This country, the countrymen here mean everything to me. I don't give a crap about our evil, demonic government. I don't give a crap about the politicians on either side. I care
about the people themselves. I care about my nation. And when Americans are harmed by anybody, doesn't matter who it is, it bothers me to no end. But that happens, right? Your fellow citizens, especially in a country as big as ours, they're going to be harmed. That in and of itself is not what makes my head pop off. That's what makes me sad. But what makes me mad is our government doesn't do pretty much the one thing it's supposed to do. So let's have a discussion here about citizenship, about America. What does it mean to be a citizen of a country? We'll make it about America today, but this would apply to any country or tribe or anybody throughout history. What does it mean, citizenship? What's the idea behind this whole thing? In fact, we'll discuss this as we get into some Roman history later on. But citizenship, what is the point? Well, what's the point of living together? Let's start there. Why are we all here together, wherever you happen to be listening to the sound of my voice? If you're looking out of the window of your apartment in LA or New York, surrounded by people and buildings, or maybe you're in rural Montana, maybe you're up in Glacier National Park podcasting the show from the mountains. There are people around you. You live close to people, at least reasonably close. But why do you do that? What's the point? Why not just go live by yourself? Contrary to what the green freaks will tell you, there's plenty of land on this planet. You can go be by yourself a million different places. Well, people come together. Human beings live with each other now for the same reason they lived with each other thousands of years ago. You live with each other because you need the protection of the group, the prosperity of the group. What is that? What is that saying people love? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. If we work together, if I'm starting a farm, I can do a lot. But if both of us are working the farm, we're three or four people. Then I can do this and you can do that. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So prosperity, protection, procreation, the continuance of our species. That's another reason we live together. If you want to find a dime and make some babies, or if you're a dime, you want to find a dude and get married and make some babies, you got to have other people around you. So those are really the reasons you would come and live and work together. Okay, but why start a country then? Or a tribe? What's the point? Why can't we just be there? Shouldn't we just hang out? We'll just be together? Well, the point of that is that provides an added layer of legitimacy and protection against other people who have started a nation. Yeah, we'll set America aside. Let's just make it about a tribe. If it's you, your family, me, my family, Jewish producer Chris, no, we're not going to let him in, but decent people and their family, and we're all living in the same, out in the pasture somewhere. Why would we decide to start a country and name it the Republic of Jesse is probably what we'd name it. Why would we do that? Well, because there's an evil tribe called the Republic of Chris just a couple miles away. And if we don't come together as an entity, then the Republic of Chris will come and take all of our fish and our jewelry. That's why we can't afford that. So we will come together and form a nation. Okay. Now, to be a citizen then in the Republic of Jesse, you have responsibilities, but the Republic of Jesse, the government itself, has responsibilities as well. You will be taxed at some level, whether it's monetarily or crops or something. You're going to pay. You are going to pay for the privilege of being a citizen in the Republic of Jesse. No question about it. But the Republic of Jesse also has an obligation to you to be a citizen. In the Republic of Jesse means you have earned the right to be protected by the army of the Republic of Jesse, by the government of the Republic of Jesse. They are supposed to be. In fact, if you have a country that's structured well, one of the few things they're supposed to do is protect you. That's what it means to be a citizen. Me, Jesse Kelly, I follow the laws for the most part. I do pay my taxes. I drive the speed limit sometimes. I fulfill my obligations, but I do these things and I have every single right to demand something in return because I am not a slave. I am a citizen. You are not a slave. You are a citizen, meaning, yes, you have obligations to the Republic of Jesse, but the Republic of Jesse, in turn, has obligations to you, period. End of story. This is a relationship because you're not a slave. You're a citizen. If you were a slave, you'd be the only one with obligations, but you're not. You are a free American in a supposedly free country, and you pay your taxes, hopefully. You follow the law. You do your duty. Maybe you've served your country in one way or the other. There are many ways to serve. Doesn't have to be in the military. And in return, your country does owe you because this is a relationship. And so we had an American citizen, executed by Hamas. And I have some thoughts. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Medal of Honor Monday, about 45 minutes from now. And then it's history time, baby. And I ain't going to rush through it. So buckle up for that. We're going to ancient times for that. But we're talking right now about the American citizen executed by Hamas. And I was just breaking down the relationship. Being a citizen of a nation does not make you a slave. It makes you in a relationship with your government. If you were a slave, there would be no relationship at all. The government would have no obligations to you. You had all the obligations. But because you're a citizen, the government has obligations. And throughout the history of the world, this has been known. We're not even talking just modern history. It has been known that when you deal with somebody, someone from a foreign land, that you will, if you mistreat them, depending on the country, you might have to deal with a backlash, a disproportionate response. So, look, the great example I use all the time, and it's one of the great examples, is from the New Testament. Sorry, Chris. When Paul was being flogged, Apostle Paul was being flogged. Everyone knows this story. Everyone knows it. And they're beating the crap. You know what flogging is? Flogging, people died from it all the time. All the time. Julius Caesar pretty much kicked off a rebellion in Gaul by flogging one of their people to death. Flogging's ancient. And flogging is not... it's not a whip. It's 5-6 whips. It's several pieces of leather with a ball bearing on the end, or sometimes a claw or a hook on the end of every strap, and they're ripping open your flesh every time, and they're wailing on Paul. And Paul essentially turns to him and says, you know I'm a Roman citizen, right? And they about crap themselves. Oh, my gosh. Bam, some water. Can we get a doctor here? Oh, no. Why? Why the response? Because to be a Roman citizen meant that you could travel in foreign lands unmolested. And if somebody did molest you, well, then there was going to be a price to pay. Now, why, though? Why would Rome make the people flogging Paul? Why would they make those people? Why would they make that country? Why would they make them pay a price? Is it for Paul? No, they didn't give a crap about Paul. They ended up cutting his head off in the arena. They don't care about Paul. It wasn't about Paul. And what I'm about to say is not about the individual who was just shot or any individual. It's about you. It's about the future. Your nation has to go over the top with a disproportionate response to any citizen being hurt so future citizens can be safe. That is the whole point of your country standing behind you. That's the point of having other nations around the world quivering with fear when you bust out the American passport. I'm an American citizen. You should be able to show that to any government, be it federal government or city government. You should be able to show that to any criminal organization, terrorist organization, including Hamas. I'm not even just talking about you should be able to walk into Mongolia with an American passport and be safe from harm. Hamas, the second they got a hold of an American citizen, they should have looked at that passport and said, oh, crap. Hey, give him back. Give him back. We don't want that kind of heat. We can't afford that kind of heat. Give him back. But we live in a country now, at least for now, where those days are apparently behind us. And they very obviously are behind us. It's not an isolated incident with Hamas, those pieces of trash. Remember Otto Warmbier? Remember that teenager who went into North Korea? Not that you should ever do that, but he allegedly ripped a poster down. That was it. It's not even like he allegedly murdered somebody or something like that. He allegedly ripped a poster down, and his parents got him back when he was pretty much already dead. Reportedly, his brain had suffered all kinds of trauma. There are reports, you never know what to believe, that his teeth had been shoved in, rearranged. They alleged a scar was on his foot. They ended up winning a lawsuit against the government of North Korea because something very, very bad happened to that young man in North Korea. Now, this is not about him or even his family. North Koreans should have died for that. If you're a government official in North Korea responsible for treating an American citizen in that way, the United States of America, well, they should have sent men to your door for that. And that's not because I believe in vengeance or something like that. It's really not. It's so future Americans can travel safely when they're abroad. It should be known. I'm an American. You better back off, or my government will bring hell to your doorstep. And so I'm going to move on because I want to talk about a bunch of other stuff, but I am so angry that our government has gotten to the place where people around the world, governments, terrorist organizations, they feel totally safe, completely safe, assaulting and murdering Americans. It drives me up the wall. And shame on everyone in our government who lets these people get away with this. All right, let's go to the border. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, You'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Wishing everybody a happy Labor Day, even though it's kind of a dirty commie holiday. That's why we are here on a Labor Day. And remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes. Now we are going to discuss something ugly. We're going to discuss illegal immigration, how it's working out for us, why it's happening. So just buckle up for this. Grandma Vodka went on Bill Maher this weekend and said this.
The California lawmakers just...
Oh, I should note, this is like 2 minutes long, so I'm probably going to interrupt. Whatever, she's drunk. She doesn't care.
The California lawmakers just passed a law. It hasn't been signed by Governor Newsom, but giving government assistance to undocumented immigrants to buy houses. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a different place than the Democratic Party used to be on immigration. Is it not? I'm not going to say that's what the country's going to do, but that's certainly where California is.
Well, let me just say, immigration had always been a bipartisan issue. I refer you to the...
But not free houses.
Well, that's not free housing. It's the American dream being available to more people. But understand this about immigration. The best speech on immigration was by President Ronald Reagan. This is the last speech I will make.
I just want to point out really quickly while I pause it and interrupt here. This is exactly why the Republicans throughout the years who have attempted to compromise on illegal immigration, the James Lankfords of the world, this is exactly why they are so incredibly damaging to the anti-communist movement. Because the second some low-T ginger like James Lankford gets up and tries to join with Democrats to pass amnesty, what he does is he hands them a talking point they will then use for the rest of time. Well, Republicans have worked with us on this. This is bipartisan. It should never be bipartisan. But we have so many lukewarm losers on our side that it gives Nancy Pelosi the freedom to say this. Only this time she cited Reagan.
As president of the United States, I want to communicate a message to the country I love. And he talked about the...
Yeah, I got it. So I just want to read a couple things for you here. Jesse. Just happened to think, why would Gavin give so much cash to the migrants? Just pause for a second. Not yelling at you who wrote this email. Don't use their language, though. It's very easy to do, and I know I do it too still in some ways. I try not to. It's hard when the system is the one deciding on the language. When the media chooses the same words as the Democrats, they'll choose the same words. And half the Republicans will use the same words. And Hollywood will use the same words. When everything around you, when everyone around you, every entity is using the same language, it's easy to fall into that trap. Don't ever, ever, ever use communist language. They choose their language because its intention is to deceive. And so you, when you adopt their words, you are helping them deceive even when you don't mean to do so. We all need to work on this. Again, I'm not yelling. I'm the exact same way. Don't ever call them migrants. Migrants sounds like a flock of geese heading south for the winter. They're illegals. They're criminals. They're illegal criminals. Use whatever language you want. But they have decided on the word migrant because illegal might make you want to oppose them. Call them migrants, and it just sounds so nice. I love birds. Anyway, he said, Gavin gave so much cash to migrants for a house when they can't afford it. Sellers are happy to sell and leave the state. Banks are happy because they have big bucks from the loans. Migrants are happy till they can't pay. Bankruptcy happens. Banks repo with much property on hand needing to sell. In steps, BlackRock buys up and they can buys up all they can, giving Gavin a nice election donation. Another theory or conspiracy.
Okay. So I wanted to discuss this, and then we're going to go actually to Aurora, Colorado. We're not going to go there. We're just going to discuss that. But I wanted to talk about this because that's a very smart email. Language aside, that's a very smart email. He said, well, doesn't this work out so well for all of them? They get the campaign donations. They get everything. BlackRock wins. Everyone wins. See, this is an advantage evil people have that you will never, ever, ever have. The advantage is when you don't care about anything or anyone but yourself, it gives you more freedom to do the things you want. When you don't have any moral code whatsoever, no code whatsoever, it's freedom. It's despicable. You should never aspire to be that way. But it gives you freedom of conduct, complete freedom of conduct. What's a good example of this? I've used this example before, but it's a good one because it's so outlandish and ridiculous. Little old lady walking in our building. She's walking. She's got a pizza. I'm hungry. I've been flying all day. I'm hungry. Starving. Pizza smells good. Maybe that's Little Caesars. Walk over there. Why wouldn't I just go punch her in the face and take her pizza? What are you mad? Why are you mad? Why wouldn't I do that? I want a pizza. I'm hungry. She has a pizza. Well, I wouldn't do that because as broken as mine can be at times, I do have a moral code. Don't steal. Don't hit women. Care for older people instead of hurt. I have a moral code of some kind. That's why I don't do it. But if I had no moral code whatsoever, well, I could have a full belly of some delicious Little Caesars. What? No sweat off my back. She's a little old lady. She's not going to stop me. Who's going to stop me? Nobody. Now, when it comes to the people who lead our country, every Democrat and half the Republicans, that's a big reason why they opened up the border of this country. If you're an evil politician, if you don't care about citizens being raped and murdered, if you want American workers being crowded out of the job market with cheap foreign labor, if you don't care about Americans being able to own a home because illegals are driving up the cost of housing through the roof, if these things don't concern you, if you don't go to bed at night or wake up in the morning with any care in the world about the American citizen, if the American citizen never crosses your mind, then you really have complete freedom to do whatever you want. You're just here to loot the treasury, baby. You're here to win the next election. You're here for the next big mansion, the next fancy foreign trip. You are completely, what's that word Dome loves to use, Chris? You're completely unburdened. You are unburdened. If you are Gavin Newsom, if you're some scumbag commie Democrat in California handing out home loans to illegals, you are unburdened by any of the negatives with that because you don't care about Californians. You don't care about the American people. The American people never cross your mind. You are free, completely free, to do whatever evil you want to do in your life because you have no moral code whatsoever. That's why they do these things. And you're exactly right. The email was so smart. It's not even a crazy conspiracy theory. It's probably exactly how they think about it. Where's the loss in it for any Democrat to open up the border if you don't care about America? If you don't care about America and you don't care about American citizens, you can use your power and do whatever you want. Now, for the good people of this country, it means disaster, death and misery and anarchy and communities run by gangs. Remember a long time ago, do you remember what I told you was going to happen in New York City? Do you remember what I told you a while ago? In case you don't remember, I'll tell you in a moment. Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, Medal of Honor Monday comes up about 10 minutes from now. Then it's history time. Maybe we'll get back to politics after that. Maybe we won't. I don't know. It's freaking Labor Day. But remember what I told you was going to happen a long time ago in New York City? I'd say maybe 6 months to a year ago, I said, they'll get to a place. Sounds crazy, but they will get to a place where the government will be openly working with criminal organizations because the criminal organizations have gained so much control of the city, the government doesn't have any choice anymore. That's what happens when you let all the crooks out of jail and when you open up your border. It's what happens all the time. It's happened before, actually. Do I need to remind everybody what happened with Lucky Luciano during World War II? They couldn't stop what was happening in the New York City ports. And the federal government, wasn't even New York City, the federal government had to sit down with the gangsters and say, hey, could you help us out here? It happens. So I'm going to play something for you. This is the Aurora, Colorado police chief. Listen to this.
I stopped by here at 12th and Dallas. Got quite a few of our officers out here that are out here tonight again. I've been out here for several weeks, making contacts with our residents, reassuring them about the criminal activity that's happening here and how we're going to address it. We're out here. We want to reassure the people that live in this community that we are actively investigating criminal activity that's happening and listening to them to so that we can learn anything that we're missing. You know, what are we missing, and actually find out what exactly is going on. We're out here because we care. I mean, nobody should be wearing this uniform if they don't care. And we want the residents and the people that live here to know that we care. We've been talking to the residents here and learning from them to find out what exactly is going on. And there's definitely a different picture. I'm not saying that there's not gang members that don't live in this community, but what we're learning out here is that gang members have not taken over this complex.
Here's a couple emails for you. Hey, Jesse, I'm an Aurora, Colorado native, also U.S. Army infantry vet and journeyman electrician. I make six figures and still find myself struggling unless my wife also works, but then it takes time away from raising our kids. Rent prices and houses in Colorado are out of control in cost just for my tax dollars to fund bringing in violent Venezuelans to our home. Certain parts of Aurora are so bad, I wouldn't go there without a gun. Hopping onto your car and trying to clean a windshield like this is a third world country, and the only way to get them to go away is by pressing my pistol against the windshield to intimidate them to get away from my truck. The problem is the government's going to wait till people die. Luckily, I live in the nicer area of Aurora, but if they decide to make their way over here, I got a lot of freedom to give them, so on and so forth. Well, that's another Aurora resident. Here's another one for you. This is... while the police chief tells you, we're just not seeing a lot. You know, it's fine. Everything's fine. This guy says, Jesse and Jewish producer Chris, I'm a police officer in Aurora, Colorado, and we are in the news for the recent story about the armed Venezuelan gang members taking over apartment complexes. I am happy to see the story making national news where the Aurora Police Department command staff and city of Aurora leadership are being asked hard questions about what is occurring. Unfortunately, these, quote, leaders are not being truthful, nor are they acknowledging the problem as they know it to be. They are also trying to minimize the issue by implying the issue is confined to just apartment complexes in the city. This could not be further from the truth. The Venezuelans are wreaking havoc throughout the entire city. Please help keep this story in the spotlight so the city of Aurora can no longer downplay the matter. The reality is the citizens and our officers are not as safe as long as the issue continues to be ignored and real solutions are not being implemented. Due to my employment status and the internal information I possess on this matter, I cannot have you air my name. Thank you. And of course, I never would air your name. It is completely safe. And here's a headline to go with it. The northern border sector continues to break records with apprehensions of illegal migrants. Another person used that word. Now let's once again go back to Grandma Vodka.
The California lawmakers just passed a law. It hasn't been signed by Governor Newsom, but giving government assistance to undocumented immigrants to buy houses. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a different place than the Democratic Party used to be on immigration, is it not? I'm not going to say that's what the country's going to do, but that's certainly where California is.
Well, let me just say, immigration had always been a bipartisan issue. I refer you to the...
But not free houses.
Well, that's not free housing. It's the American dream being available to more people. But understand this about immigration. The best...
Democrats opened up the border of this country on purpose. As soon as Joe Biden got elected president, Democrats opened up the border on purpose. They did it so they could overwhelm the system and collapse it. They did it so they could get as many of these people voting as humanly possible. They did it for money. They did it for power. And they did it on purpose. And Republicans like James Lankford tried to help them do it. I'm going to continue to repeat this. I may repeat this every single show until the day they kick me off the air, until everyone gets this through their head. This is all being done on purpose. And now, when you can't afford a house, you can't afford the rent, you can't afford groceries, they're handing out free down payments, free everything to illegals. And the most powerful Democrat in Washington, D.C. says, and I quote, well, it's the American dream. Democrats did this to you on purpose. They did it to New York City on purpose. Los Angeles, Aurora, Colorado. It's happening in Idaho, Wisconsin. It's happening in Bozeman, Montana, a town where I grew up. It was 35,000 people, and now illegals have been bussed and flown en masse into Bozeman, Montana, so the working man can't get a construction job or afford a home anymore. And I'm going to say for the 10,000th time, Democrats did that to you on purpose. Don't ever forget it. And don't you dare let your crazy liberal Aunt Peggy tell you it's not happening, because it's happening. And they're destroying this country as fast as I can. Now, I'm done with politics for a little bit. I'm going to do Medal of Honor Monday, and I'm going to talk about history next.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra Affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.